نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. One of my friends reminded me this morning that you had commenced with one ayat of the Quran Sharif in which you were discussing dressing, libas, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that at the time of Salat you should wear your clothes, you should adorn yourself. I discussed certain aspects of libas and clothing. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya Bani Adam, khuzu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. Wakulu washrabu, wala tusrifu. And eat and drink, and do not be extravagant. Eating and drinking, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, is no problem. But we should not exceed the limits. We should not go beyond the limits. Now from here also so many masail have been deduced, that a person must not eat so little that he suffers physical weakness to such an extent that he cannot even make his namaz, he can't do his ibadat, he can't make his zikr, he can't go and do his business. Now he thinks that is some kind of ibadat, that he is eating very little. But that is not permissible, that he eats so little that because of that weakness he cannot undertake his activities of life as desired by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And neither should he eat so much that he becomes a target for shaitan. Because when the stomach becomes full, then evil desires and passions arise in one's mind and heart. When the stomach is full, then that person becomes a very easy target for shaitan. So neither should he overeat, and nor should he eat very little. There must be moderation in everything. Then again, that food must be halal. It must not be from any kind of a haram earning. Halal food does not only mean that it must be slaughtered after reciting Bismillah. If haram chicken, you recite Bismillah and slaughter it, it doesn't become halal. If a person has stolen a chicken from somewhere and he says read Bismillah and slaughter it, so that won't make it halal. As there is a group who believes that any food that is doubtful or even haram, then you can read Bismillah and it becomes a halal. Especially when it comes to the meat and the chicken or the poultry in foreign countries where you do not have an idea of where it has been slaughtered, then they say you mustn't worry, you must eat it, just read Bismillah, it becomes a halal. Take the knife, read Bismillah, and then cut the meat. So now that doesn't make it halal. There are many other masail that have been deduced, but this is something that we learn from that ayat, that eating and drinking, Allah Ta'ala says himself, eat and drink. But just that, do not go over the limits and over the borders. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ, because Allah Ta'ala does not like those who are going extravagant or who are becoming going over the limits. Then immediately after that Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. Say, who has made haram the adornment of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala which he has produced for his servants. In other words, clothes, etc., what Allah Ta'ala has created for man, because Allah Ta'ala gave man that intelligence to make clothes. Whenever we come across an ayat like this, sometimes some stupid people, they say that clothes are manufactured in factories. Allah Ta'ala didn't send it from the heavens. Yes, indeed. But who is it that gave them the intelligence to weave the cloth? Who is it that caused the cotton to grow? And all the details that go with it. So therefore Allah Ta'ala says that he is the one that gave man that intelligence and he has made this clothing, so now use the clothing. Nobody says that it is haram for you to wear the clothing. But as I discussed, that clothing must not resemble the traditions of any other religious faith. It must identify the person as a Muslim. It must wear the libas of the Salihin. As far as the price is concerned of the material that the person will by. There we have got different kinds of riwayat. Just to show that Allah Ta'ala hasn't made life difficult and tight and narrow for us. Lots of people don't understand this and they think buzrugi is something that you must wear tattered and torn clothes, then you are a buzrug. If you wear good clothes, then you can never be a wali and a buzrug. Hazrat Zainul Abideen, Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to wear clothes sometimes of 40 dinars. Now 40 gold coins is quite a bit. But then his heart wasn't attached to it. As soon as some poor person came or the weather changed, it became hot, summer came, then he just gave it away. Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh, it has been mentioned that sometime 400 dinar clothing, dirham clothing used to wear. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on one occasion emerged from his room and he had a chadar on him, he had a sheet on him which was of 1000 dirham. But he just kept it for a little while, he wore it, afterwards again he gave it away. Now that was to create the sunnah, that for the rich people, if they have got the money, and from their money they are giving to the poor, to the needy, they are taking care of the needs of the family, the neighbors, they are not extravagant. Then if they wear good clothes of high quality, as long as their heart is not attached to it and it is from halal earnings, then we should not condemn them as if they are Jahannamis or they cannot be walis of Allah Ta'ala. Here Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Alayh, it is reported about him. Hazrat Ismail Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh, he used to have 360 different clothes for the year. One set of clothes for each day. One for each day. And that too of top quality. But then, the next day that one was gone. He gave it away to some student of his or some poor person. Allah Ta'ala used to give them so much of barakat in their business. Their business also, they were not occupied 24 hours. Their business, they were not occupied 24 hours like we get occupied. Their business was such that they had trustworthy people who were running their businesses, and Allah Ta'ala used to give them so much of barakat that it used to just come, they give. From one hand they receive, the other hand it was going. So now each day he wears one new set and he gives it away. But then what did he say? He said that in this top quality clothing that I am wearing, if I have to be told to carry a garbage bag on my head, it will make no difference to me. He says, even if somebody has to come and put a garbage bag on my head, it won't affect the tranquility of my heart. In other words, those clothes, their hearts were not attached to it. Hazrat Imam Hassan, or Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, it is reported that he used to wear very good clothing. And when somebody asked him that you are the grandson of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your grandfather wore such simple clothes, patched clothes, and why are you wearing such kind of clothes? So Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ وَأَتَجَمَّلُ لِرَبِّي. He says that Allah Ta'ala is Jameel, is beautiful, and He loves Jamal. And this, what I am doing it for my Rabb. I am not wearing it to show anybody that so and so is wearing very good clothes. He says, it is for my Rabb, that my Rabb has given me something, I want to show that ni'mat of my Rabb. And then another buzrug is, when he was asked that how can you be a wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wearing such good clothes, then he said that when I am wearing the good clothes, it is a reminder of the ni'mats of Jannat. I am not wearing for show. Allah Ta'ala is providing it, Allah Ta'ala is sending it, somebody must have given him a gift or whatever it may be, now he is wearing it. So he says, I wear it. Allah Ta'ala sent it in a halal way without my heart and mind being attached to it. So now I am using it, but I am using it because it is reminding me of the ni'mats of Jannat. So when they used the ni'mats in this world, it was a reminder of the ni'mats of Jannat. Hazrat Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayh used to also wear good clothes. My Shaykh Hazrat Maulana of Shaykh of Bukhari Sharif, I'm talking about Hazrat Maulana Fakhruddin Rahmatullah Alayh. Whenever we used to take him for the, because he was in his 90s and we used to take him on a wheelchair, so we used to go to his house to fetch him from there and push his wheelchair to the class. I mentioned it many times that there were 313 students in the hall when he used to come, then 4 hours he used to teach at night and 3 hours in the morning, which we can't even imagine these days. So when we used to go to fetch him, we used to find immediately he's at that age, but he used to say, make me wear a clean kurta. He used to wear a clean kurta, then he'll comb his beard, he'll comb his hair, he'll apply ithar and perfume, and then he will come as if a king is arriving. Now to us, or to people that don't know, they will think that what kind of sheikh is that every time he's going to teach Bukhari Sharif, he is adorning himself with the best of libas. But why was he doing that? He says that I'm going to be sitting in the mahfil of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala an-Nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like being in the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the person who is going to be teaching the hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he should be adorned in such a manner which is befitting the teaching of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now that was not for sure. You can see where their hearts were. My Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Kimod Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, on one occasion, because every time that he goes for bayan also, then we used to see him that he wants to go in a neat and a clean and a tidy state. So he say, "Main sarkari kaam ke liye ja raha hoon. I'm going on government service." He says, when a person is going on government service, he wants to wear his suit, he wants to wear his tie, he wants to dress up in a style that is befitting that occasion. So here this is government service, the government of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. I'm going to do the khidmat of the deen of Allah ta'ala. So therefore it is only right that I should be in a state that is presentable. Now look at their niyats, what it were. Now we have got just must wear good clothes, but we're not worried about the heart must be also clean with that clothes. Their hearts were so clean that irrespective of what quality of clothes they wore, what value of clothes came on their bodies, and what price the clothing was, it did not affect the tranquility of their hearts. Now we, the moment we wear a little bit good, then finish, there's show business in it. If we sit in a good car, then there's show business. Everything we got show business. So then it is not jais for that person who hasn't purified his heart, and if all these things are creating pride in his heart, then it is not jais for him to wear. But if the person has purified his heart, or he is using it for the sake of presenting himself before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in those ni'mats that Allah ta'ala has given, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Allah ta'ala also likes that his ni'mats which he gives to a person, then it must be shown. It is not nice that the person should be in torn and tattered or dirty clothes when Allah ta'ala has given him sufficient and he can afford. Yes, if that person is poor, he does not have, then it is a different story. So Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali also, he used to wear very good clothes. So one person wrote to him, Hazrat Yahya bin Yazid Naufali Rahmatullah Ali. He wrote a letter to him, to Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali. He said, "Oh Imam Malik, you are a muhaddis." I'm just giving you the gist and the meaning of that letter. Something to the effect he wrote, he said, "Oh Imam Malik, you are our leader and people look up to you and they follow you. And you are teaching hadith of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, what I have heard, if it is true, then it is not right of you to indulge in such things." And what did he mention? He said, "I have heard that you wear good clothes and you sleep on soft bed and you eat refined bread." Now that is something he found objectionable. So he said that, "I find that you use these things and I don't think it's befitting of you as a sheikh of hadith that you should be doing these things." And then he also said that, "This letter I have written to you as a nasihat because of my love for you, and only Allah Ta'ala knows about it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah." So Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali replied also that, "I appreciate your nasihat." Now look at his reply also. He said, "I appreciate your nasihat, I appreciate your advice. However, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِي. This is the ayat that he replied. Okay, who has prohibited for you the adornments of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? What he has made halal for you of clothes, food, etc., then who has made it haram? Nobody says he must make it haram. Then he says, "I know that it is out of your kindness that you have written to me and you have given me advices, so do continue giving me advices. And I make dua that Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq of making amal. But if Allah Ta'ala has made it permissible, then nobody can make it haram, although we can say that it may be better to abstain from certain things." So there must be this balance in there. Also it is mentioned of Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayh that there was a person who had made for him an arrangement of 360 sets of clothes for the year. Every day one set. Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayh used to use it too, and next day he used to give it away. But their hearts were not attached to it. So what we learn from here is that Islam is a very beautiful way of life. It's not difficult for anybody, for the poor, for the rich, for the kings, for the beggars, for everybody. There is some direction, there is some guideline. If all of us have the proper knowledge, then we won't object to anything, if it is within the parameters of Sharia. But when we don't have the knowledge, then we come to conclusion that if somebody wore good clothes, then he can't be wali of Allah. If somebody sat in a good car, then he can never be a wali of Allah Ta'ala. If somebody lives in a good home, then he can never be wali of Allah Ta'ala. Whereas Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ. But what is essential and conditional is that we must purify this heart of ours. If the heart has not been purified from arrogance and from pride and from greed and from evil passions and lust and desires, then all these things that will come on top of our bodies, then they will create havoc in our hearts. Then the pride will increase. May Allah Ta'ala give us the true knowledge and the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Engage yourself in dua.
Allahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhar rusulu kulu minat tayyibati wa'malu saliha. Inni bima ta'maluna alim. Sadaqallahul azim.
Yesterday we were discussing قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ الْعِبَادِ with regards to clothes and other things. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, they mentioned also in that ayat, one of the ayats, they قُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. I explained to you that as far as wearing fine clothes are concerned, or eating good food is concerned, or sleeping on a soft bed or mattress is concerned, or enjoying the other ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala are concerned, Allah Ta'ala has in fact made those ni'mats for the believers. They will get everything in the hereafter, but even in this world, it has been really made for the believers. The disbelievers are just enjoying these ni'mats because of the believers. Because the day there's going to be no believer on this earth, Allah Ta'ala is going to destroy the whole universe. So I was explaining to you how people in the past of great caliber, people like Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Zainul Abidin Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Hassan Radiallahu Ta'ala Anhu, Hazrat Sayyid Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Ibn Abbas Radiallahu Ta'ala Anhu, Sahabas of such caliber, they also, when Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them ni'mats, they wore good clothes, they ate good food, but they used all these ni'mats for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and they used it with a heart which had been purified. So the usage of these ni'mats did not create pride in their hearts. When they wore good clothes, then it was to show the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala which Allah had blessed them with. Like Sayyidina Hasan radiallahu ta'ala used to wear good clothes. When somebody asked him, why you wear such good clothes and sit on such good horse, then he said, I want to be seen by the people to be rich, so that they may come to me and ask me of their needs. Now look at his niyat. He says, I want the poor people to see me sitting in on a good horse and wearing good clothes, so that they may come and ask me of their needs. Now what kind of niyat that was? Or as I explained to you yesterday, I think that also on one occasion he said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ وَيُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ. Allah Ta'ala is beautiful and he likes beauty. So then the question arises that Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he used to wear patched clothes. And he used to insist that even those governors that he had appointed, that they must lead very, very simple lives. And here we are hearing of Sahaba-i-Kiram, of great people, Tabi'in, Tabi'in, Awliya-i-Siddiqeen, eating good food, wearing good clothes when Allah Ta'ala gave it to them. So the reason for that was that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he did not want to set a bad example for his governors. It is stated that if the king has to steal one egg, if the king has to steal an egg, then the governors that he has appointed, they are going to have Sikh kebab with 1,000 chicken. If the king is going to steal one egg, then those that he has appointed, they will start stealing in a big way. As we are seeing in our country and other countries of the world, that when the people at the top are committing fraud, so then what do you expect of the people at the bottom? When those who are the rulers, when they are going to commit fraud on a large scale, then you're going to expect those whom they have appointed as their subordinates committing fraud in an even larger scale. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he wanted to set an example so that the rulers that he appoints, they may then not go on to extravagance. And that was a hal or a condition of his. There are many things which we term as a hal or a condition of some wali of Allah, some khalifa or somebody else who is a pious person. But those hals and those conditions which are specific to that person, it is not a rule that everybody has to follow. It does not mean now everybody has to wear patch clothes as Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu wore. Therefore Allah ta'ala says, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِي. Now in this ayat also Allah ta'ala is addressing the nabis of Allah ta'ala. يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ. He is addressing the nabis of Allah ta'ala, those who are the messengers of Allah. Allah ta'ala tells them, قُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ قُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ. The literal meaning of طَيِّبَات is wholesome, pure. Now here the nabis of Allah ta'ala are told that eat of the pure and wholesome things. Allah ta'ala has created all these things for your benefit, so make use of it. Eat the fruits of the trees, eat the flesh and meat of those animals which we have declared as halal for you, out of your halal earnings, whatever is halal and whatever is wholesome, whatever is pure, then eat. Allah is not saying you must not eat. What He is saying is that you must not be extravagant. You must not waste. You must not waste these God-given ni'mats. But tayyibat here conveys the meaning that even in the eating, it's not necessary that the person must just take and swallow up any kind of food. That means to get that muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala in your heart, if that food is delicious, then the alhamdulillah will come out from the depths of one's heart. Therefore, Hazrat Haji Imdadullah Ramatullah Alay, he said, Maulana Ashraf to Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Tanvi Ramatullah Alay, he said, Ashraf Ali, jab pani piyo, to thanda piyo. Now, of course, if cold water affects somebody, doesn't mean now you must drink iced water and then start coughing here. What I am saying is that, he says, when you drink water, drink cold water. On a hot day, if you're going to drink hot water, then you will drink it, but it's not going to really quench the thirst. It's not going to get the alhamdulillah from the depths of one's heart. But if it's a very hot day and the person drinks cold water, so then alhamdulillah also comes out from the heart. So now if the person is drinking cold water, it's going to bring him satisfaction and he's going to say alhamdulillah. So Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased that this person used a ni'mat of mine and made shukr on it. So in the same way here, the food also, there was one pious person, but of course ilm and knowledge is also essential. Piety goes together with knowledge and ilm. So whenever he used to eat food, he used to make sure that there's so much of gravy in there that the food becomes tasteless. After the food has been cooked, he used to pour water and make the gravy such that the whole curry becomes tasteless. So one Alim-e-Deen asked him, who was an Arif of Allah Ta'ala, he said that, why are you doing this? He says, why are you doing this? He says, I am doing that to punish my nafs, that it must not enjoy the food that I am eating. So he said, that is jahalat, that is ignorance. If the food is going to be tasty and you are going to make shukr over it, then that will be more pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala than what you are doing. So let it be tasty, there is no harm in that. But the essential thing that we have to understand is that after that what? As I mentioned, the wearing of the good clothes and using of good cars and staying in good homes, Hazrat Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali also quoted the same ayat that who has made these things haram? But their hearts were purified. These things didn't bring arrogance into their hearts. It didn't bring pride into their hearts. They did not consider others as inferior to them. In their hearts there was so much of humility, in spite of wearing good clothes and traveling in good car. And their concern was there, that just as Allah Ta'ala has provided for us, then we must take care of the needs of the poor, the needy, the widows, the orphans, at present the mujahideen, the people who are refugees. So if this person is also sharing, then there is no harm in there. Now here with regards to the food also, Allah Ta'ala says, eat of the good food. The food that Allah Ta'ala has provided, eat. Min at-tayyibat, of the wholesome, of the pure things that Allah Ta'ala has created for you, eat. But wa'amalu saliha. Now Allah is telling the anbiya, the rasul, the messengers, that after that do the righteous deeds. Why? Inni bima ta'amaluna alim. Verily Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows, He has the full knowledge of whatever you are doing. So this food that is going to go into the system, first of all it must be halal, it must be pure. Because we are what we eat, which we have heard many times, that we are what we eat, it is true. Those people who eat pork, those people who eat haram, then the actions, their deeds are also of the same kind. Shameless, obscene, filthy, dirty, no cleanliness. So this is the what happens when the person eats that kind of food. So the person is going to eat haram, then the eyes want to see haram, the ears want to listen to haram, the tongues want to speak haram, the mind is also clouded with haram after that. So Allah Ta'ala says that eat, but of the pure wholesome things, eat, enjoy it, there's no harm in that. But do good deeds also, because this food that's going into your system, it is Allah Ta'ala's qudrat that is working now. After we have eaten the food, who really does anything inside his stomach after that? Does anybody after eating the food now puts his hand inside his stomach and starts turning some machines inside and churns the food and does this and does that and converts it to blood, and then after that it's providing with all the different minerals and vitamins and everything that is required for the body. It's giving provision to the eyes, provision to the ears, provision to even the fingernails, because the fingernails also won't grow if it does not get the right provision from the system. The hair won't grow. We know that when a person goes on hunger strike, what happens? His hearing is affected, his sight is affected, his speech is affected, and finally he even loses his life. So this food that Allah Ta'ala is converting inside the stomach to so many different things, and then it's the blood now which it has been converted to, and then the strength that is coming into the body. So now this is the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. He did so much of favors upon us that He caused that food to be converted to so many different requirements of our body. And now that eyes, if we are going to look at haram, then it is namak harami. That's what we call namak haram. That the person has been blessed with the sight, and Allah Ta'ala gave provision for that sight, and now he's using it for haram. Same with the hearing, with the speech, with his thoughts, with the movement of his hands and feet. Now all that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is watching. So he says, eat the food, but wa'amalu saliha, do righteous deeds. Let it be used in the places that Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam are pleased with. Then that same food now becomes a means of gaining entry into Jannat and the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. The same clothes becomes the means of closeness to Allah Ta'ala. The usage of those same cars becomes means of the closeness to Allah Ta'ala. As I mentioned in some majlis of mine, that the Ahlullah, first they discipline their eyes, their ears, their tongues, their hands, their feet. They sometimes punish them for disciplining. But when it becomes disciplined, and now when the person is using his eyes in the right places, ears in the right places, and is enjoying the ibadat and zikr and tilawat and charities and khidmat and service to mankind, now they start congratulating these very parts of their body. Now they want to kiss their own eyes, they want to kiss their own hands, they want to kiss their own feet, that you became the means now of my connection with my Allah. Because the same things get you connected with Allah Ta'ala. Eating and drinking is in our lives, and we will go on eating and drinking. But when the strength comes in the body, where do we use that strength? May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make correct use of every limb and every part of the body.